This is the Day Zero update for February 24th, 2019. I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
I'm Dan Red Victoria.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
Packed house today. And it's been an interesting week. Some big news, some big games, and a whole lot of just stuff that makes you go, what? So we are going to get to that. Before we do, we should go over some of the stuff that's coming out this week. And really the only big game that most of us like actually care about is Dead or Alive 6. That's coming out Friday.
Yep.
I wonder when that's going to start preloading, because probably won't be too long. If it's going to come out Friday, it's probably going to preload Wednesday, maybe Tuesday. Who knows?
If they were smart, they'd have it preload with some of the data from the beta that just ended. Yeah. Or it might still be going today.
Hmm. Yeah, but that's coming out, and supposedly it's a pretty big download, so I'm looking forward to
look forward to the download.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a decent 60 megabit connection here, so I'm not hugely concerned. But
your system isn't going to care if you're playing something while you're downloading it.
Basically. Mm-hmm. So look forward to that. If you're interested in racing games, Dirt Rally 2.0 is coming out. That may be worth picking up if you don't have the game already. And what else? Not a whole heck of a lot, apart from Stellaris, the console edition of that. If you like your space exploration and trading type game, so that may be a good one to check out. So apart from that, yeah, not much in the way of releases, but we did get a big release on Friday a couple of days ago. It was Anthem. I see that a few of us are playing it, and usually we go around the horn and say what we're playing, but I think we'll just start with the Anthem discussion right now, because there's enough of us here that have played it, so that we can just get right into that.
Okay, I guess I'll kind of start.
Yeah, Jen.
So, Anthem is basically BioWare's sort of entry into the looter shooter genre. People compare it to Destiny, but it's a lot more similar to Warframe, which is Destiny is basically Warframe is Destiny if it didn't suck.
Ooh.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's got, there's better world building. There's much more customizable. Also, Warframe is free to play. So that's a big difference between that and Destiny. But basically, Anthem is sort of the BioWare sort of high concept version of that type of game. It takes place not in our universe, but in another universe. It's sort of like Star Wars, where it's like it's humans, but not our humans, Right. And they take place on a planet that is essentially a death world. Basically, everything is in flux and everything is trying to kill you. And sort of the backstory of this game is that humans on this planet basically live in these highly guarded enclaves because the people, they call them the gods, but they're just called the Shapers. The people who actually created this world, they basically stopped in the middle of creating it and just disappeared. So there's all this stuff around, like there's relics of the Shapers everywhere, of their technology, of their, there are statues and ruins and artifacts everywhere. And it basically what it means is that on this planet, there's these things called Shaper Storms going around that basically screw with reality to the point that it can completely change up the terrain of any given area it breaks out in. You specifically are playing a freelancer who is you're sort of like a kind of irregular militia, I guess you could say. There is like an actual proper militia for this place. You basically live, and a lot of the story stuff happens in this area called Fort Tarsus, which happens all in the first person. And Fort Tarsus is very sort of a It's a sort of a living, breathing place that you're constantly walking around. There's all kinds of nooks and crannies and stuff to look into, people to talk to. There's lore everywhere. It has a kind of sort of oriental, Middle Eastern sort of marketplace vibe, sort of like an outdoor market type thing. And basically, whenever you get a mission, you get into your javelin, and as the game goes on, you can get more than one javelin, all of which are heavily customizable, from everything from colors to decals, things like that. And you go out into the world, and basically a javelin is just a glorified Iron Man suit.
Which is what's selling the game.
Yeah, and it feels really good to fly around and, you know, get down, you know, to fly around, landing, sort of that sort of freedom of movement is really enjoyable. Obviously there's combat of, you know, there's like different types of guns, you know, close quarters weapons as well. And you know, that's pretty much it. You know, that's the baseline. Obviously there's more to it, but I haven't gotten that far in the game yet, so.
Okay.
What level are you on, by the way?
Huh?
What level are you on?
I only got started playing it the night before last, so it's been a. I'd have to get back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not particularly far into the game. I guess my thing is at level 10. I guess.
That's about where I'm at. So yeah, okay. It's around level 10.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess
I think it's actually a level 8, maybe. Okay. But yeah.
Gotcha. I just acquired my second javelin. I started off with the Storm,
which is
a better unit for flying around. And you have a shield when you're flying around, so it actually makes you look pretty cool as you're trying to shoot enemies from above. And, I'm really enjoying it so far. I actually got my first taste of the game during the VIP beta. And that was absolute shit.
Yeah.
Let's say I tried to sign into the game 20 times and I'd only get in about like twice.
Yeah.
But out of those two times I was able to get in, I definitely enjoyed what I played. My main complaint with that was that, you know, Brandon was talking about the ease of flying around.
Yeah.
With the beta, it didn't really tell you how to do anything at all.
Yeah, so, it didn't. It was, you were basically thrown into the deep end and expected to swim.
Yeah. So. With the actual game, that isn't the case. The tutorial actually does help. And so far, I haven't really run into many problems. I've seen a few glitches, like during cutscenes and things such as, I think yesterday was my first time where I was in the middle of a mission. The game kicked me out for whatever reason. But the cool part was when I eventually got back in, I was able to continue, from where the mission were, or just continue on. And obviously it's a completely online game. So if you miss some time, odds are, you know, you're definitely going to miss that time and you can't really go back to it unless you choose to later. But so far it's been performing the way, you know, I had hoped. I know people are complaining about being kicked out left and right, but that's only happened once to me.
Yeah. So, it hasn't happened to me at all yet. So,
yeah. So, I mean, granted, I haven't read any reviews, so I don't really know what people are complaining about, but so far, I mean, as someone that doesn't even really play these kinds of games that often, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't really like looter shooters at all, and I legitimately like this game. So,
oh God, fuck that name. Yeah. People have been saying that, or Schluter.
Yeah, I know. I hate that term, too.
But Schluter sounds like a really shitty dive bar.
Yeah.
I saw one of the friends of Giant Bomb just did a Photoshop of, I think, Alex Navarro's face and created the Schluters, like taking the Hooters logo, make it Schluters over his face. It's like, okay. Yeah, they're just loot shooters or loot RPG or RPG shooters, whatever.
Go ahead, Chris. I know you're playing this too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am, I think, level 7.
Mm-hmm.
Basically got to the point where I can go talk to people and get a bunch of side quests and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing some of that. Usually it's just, hey, go kill a bunch of enemies. So far, like, the mission design's not all that complicated.
Yeah.
Usually go here, shoot all the enemies.
It is true right now. Yeah, that's pretty much true. But a lot of the missions right now are, you know, their design are kind of pretty basic.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have some issues coming from a fan of Destiny and Diablo and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That I know Phil would definitely know about. So, Phil, do you like loot that you have to identify?
That's
unidentified.
No.
That's all the loot here. Every loot you pick up is unidentified. You can't use it until you finish the mission. So you have no idea what you get, which, whatever, is fine. But you also can't change your equipment mid-mission.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that all beforehand.
Mm.
Which I can get some reasons why, but it's like in the early game, you're kind of equipping whatever is just better than the stuff you have before.
Yeah.
Okay, now that part is actually something that I remember happening with Mass Effect.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Especially Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. But here it's more ability based versus there, where it's kind of you're trying out guns and you're not sure which guns you might like better. But
yeah.
Here it's abilities. I'm playing the Storm, which is kind of like Destiny's Warlock. Which is more magic focused, along with the guns. And so I have my main abilities that I'm equipping are different kinds of things. I have one that like creates this little explosion, ice explosion, which is cool. I can do like three of them in a row before it has to like. There's a cooldown for it. Also, one that like just shoots ice bullets at people and freezes them. And so there's a whole combo system for comboing this stuff, these different abilities, which it doesn't explain at all. I just happened to figure out by alternating, because I had initially I had a lightning blast and then the ice shooter, which I shoot them with the ice, they freeze, and I shoot them with the lightning. It's like, oh, combo. Okay. If it's the same type, it doesn't work. For that stuff. So if I shoot them with, if I had the ice like blast and the bullets, that doesn't work. But my main melee, I don't know if that can change or not, but that's sort of a fire attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd occasionally just freeze them and then do the melee attack, which is on a cooldown. You can do that like every 5 seconds or whatever, which is not great when you're freezing a bunch of, like three or four enemies, in a row. There's lots of little things like that, like not being able to switch that stuff up, because if you just happen to pick ones you don't like or don't work well together, you're kind of screwed for that whole mission.
Hmm.
Luckily, it's by default, it matches, makes you into a four-player party, so I can let the other players kind of take the focus and just focus on shooting.
Yeah,
and that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's not fun when you're trying out this stuff. Just it's like, oh, I got a new thing. Let me try this out. And then you realize, oh, this kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very fun. I did have one weird glitch that basically put me in a hell box. So when you finish missions, that's where you get XP. So unlike a lot of the other games, you don't get XP for each kill. It's like Mass Effect where you get all the XP at the end. So you find out if you've leveled up or whatever enough to do that stuff. And you usually get a choice at the end, like, hey, do you want to go into Fort Tarsus, which is sort of the story place, or you want to go into your forge so you can start like equipping stuff or crafting or whatever. Or you can go into this like little social space. And for whatever reason, it just launched me right into that. And there was a few people there. But there was no way to get out. I could see the door and the icons like, oh, this I think is supposed to take me back to Fort Tarsus. And nothing. There's no prompt or anything you could get to get out. So there are more people just keep coming into this room.
You're stuck and in none of them social can get purgatory. Out.
You could go manage your forge here. You could go look at your items that you collected.
Hmm.
Or you could go to this paid shop. It's in the middle of the room and just keep seeing like probably by the time I just quit out of the game and started back up again. And that fixed it. I got put right back at the one woman that is there at the beginning of the game to finish up the mission, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just saw like 10 of these people just jumping around this room, not sure what to do. We could get the hell out of this room. There's some real bad shit going on there. Just weird bugs like that.
Yeah.
Luckily,
you did try the door, right?
Yeah. It didn't work. There's no prompt.
Yeah.
I could look at the icon, and I'm pretty sure it was a fort icon. So,
oh, BioWare.
Couldn't do anything. It just bugged out for whatever reason. But yeah. Yeah, the crafting stuff is pretty neat. Though it's not all that specific about what you're doing a lot of the time. It's just like, hey, you're making, we got this item you can craft, I guess.
I think that's the problem with the game in general. A lot of the stuff you do have to figure out. Like, Brandon did mention that the javelins are fully customizable, but then I try to change the color and I'm like, these aren't colors. These are just different kinds of cloth. But
yeah, that is
a color. But if you pick the wrong material, you can't color it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you have to pick, which I ended up picking up just one for all of them that I knew had colors. I started messing with that and made a Ninja Turtle kind of color.
yeah.
Which Michelangelo.
I'm just trying to turn my Storm Javelin to a Green Bay Packer, but I can't find the options.
Of course you are.
Yeah, essentially, there's on each of those options, the left one is for the material, the right one is the color.
Hmm.
So you have to pick one of the white materials in there, and that's like a base that you can paint on, essentially.
Yeah,
yeah, that is one of the other issue. One of the other issues is the formatting. You know, the prompts for, you know, when you're customizing stuff. You know, it tries to go for style, but the problem is that it's not very intuitive.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of guesswork involved.
Yeah.
At least at first.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those games that you kind of just have to bang your head against the UI a little bit if it's not explained anywhere.
Yeah.
Just like mess around with it. Like, oh, okay. I guess that's how that works sort of thing, which isn't great, especially when a lot of the reviews in the talk is like, they don't really explain how to do things here, especially like combos and all that. But yeah, the coloring stuff, it's not always great about what each of the different options is changing for the colors, because I want to make like a Ninja Turtle kind of thing. So I'm trying to make the torso kind of yellowish. But that also changes part of the head color too. And it's like, I'd rather just have control of the torso.
Yeah.
But I maybe have to find a specific like cosmetic version of that torso armor that doesn't reach into the head. So yeah, you can look up on, I think Reddit has, there's like a specific Reddit that's just fashion, Anthem fashion, where people are sharing their different designs and such.
Now, here's the question I want to ask, because obviously this game came out on Friday, and you know, there had already been people who were reviewing it, and it's getting lambasted by some of the bigger critics.
Yeah.
And some of that was before, you know, the patch was introduced. What I want to know is, do you think this game necessarily has earned that much ire?
I mean, they released it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, technically.
For people to buy and play, and that's the version they give out to reviewers.
Yeah.
Like, they're reviewing what they had to play, not what came out, you know, days after they finished.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not necessarily the reviewer's fault. That's the developer's. And probably more EA's fault.
It is on EA for letting it out into the wild.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole launch and pre-order and when you can actually play the beta or not is just a mess.
Yeah. The notion that you can subscribe to Origin Premiere. Access, and you get in before the people just spend $60 on it.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird and ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I'm playing it on Xbox One through EA Access, the trial, the 10-hour trial, And so that it has me like trying to skip some dialogue a little bit.
Yeah, because you're on the clock.
I'm on a clock. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're weird. You're a weird person in this. You're the janitor that wants to institute lanes to get people running around more efficiently on this whole story area.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're a weirdo. But yeah, it's and like even on Xbox One X, it has some issues with frame rate at times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I haven't had any issues on my PS4, and it's just a regular PS4. So
I have, but I mean, I'm using a Pro. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple issues where it just kind of froze for a second here there. I don't know if that's network stuff or what, but yeah, it's not been constant or anything. It's been just a couple times in like heavier areas, but yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there are a couple times where they kind of just make their coolest parts of the game more annoying than they should. Because the heat meter for the flying is a little bit shorter than it probably should be. Because I have, like, I'm sitting here rolling with a party, and I see them, you know, have to drop down to the ground.
Yeah.
Every once in a while just to reset that. Hmm. And it's like, you're this whole game where you're basically, you know, fantasy RPG Iron Man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've watched most of the Marvel movies. He never drops to the ground to reload his to let off cool off his armor.
Hmm.
They have like waterfalls and stuff like that you can kind of go into, and there's the whole thing where if you like nosedive towards the ground, you cool off your meter a little bit.
Yeah,
but it's not really as intuitive as they kind of want it to be. I think if they just gave you a good bit more time to, you know, do that, it would be a lot more fun to fly around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suspect like, that gets adjusted over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like something that'll get addressed is like one of the first big updates.
Yeah. So what I would say right now is if you're interested in the game, you know, actually getting it, playing it, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go ahead and buy it now, because I bought it first day and have been enjoying it greatly. Yeah. But, you know, it is undeniable that there are still some issues to work out.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is probably going to take me a couple weeks before I can review it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know,
it's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy. I'm not reviewing the game, because if you were to ask me about the lore and the story, I would walk out of the room. So
yeah,
yeah.
I just remembered like a few problems I had. I don't know if you guys ran into the same thing, but I ran out of ammo pretty quickly a few times, and I didn't even know where to find ammo or what it looked like. Is it that blue stuff on the ground or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the nice thing they do is they have a pretty wide sort of area around you that it'll just auto pick it up.
Hmm.
The same goes with the health drops.
Yeah, the boxes for that are rather huge. But and then
that's definitely what I've had issues with the beta, because the free play was the only thing I could play in that first weekend. So I go out and I just run out of ammo. It's like, how the fuck do I get ammo? It wasn't even dropping nearly as much as it is now.
The issues I had for the... Because I didn't get into the VIP beta. I had to wait for the public one. The two big issues I had was... you know, having like a herd of enemies just suddenly disappear into thin air.
Yeah.
That happened to me a couple times. And also, like during cutscenes, they would freeze. That happened to me once.
Yeah.
I have had neither of those problems since I've played this. So
yeah, I've seen the enemies disappear. That's usually in like free play when like a public event ends.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh, so much for that. These guys are gone, because I went to an area where there were just a shit ton of hard enemies, and I was like level 5. So it's like, oh, I can't do much against you guys.
Yeah,
even though I tried for a little bit. But
to be fair, though, that is something that happens in just MMOs, period.
Yeah, that happens.
That happens to me all the time in Final Fantasy 14. So
that definitely happens in Destiny, where that event ends and those guys just the special enemies that pop in just disappear.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're done. See you later.
Sounds like phase.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I was saying, if you want to go ahead and get the blank game, I won't stop you. And I don't want to stop you because, I mean, again, I am enjoying the game. But do know that at this time, it still has some issues that need to be worked out. So it's still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah. There's definitely some rough spots. And if you're on Xbox One, I definitely recommend trying it out on EA Access in the trial. Get a good solid 10 hours into it and decide there.
Yeah.
And I think along with that, there's a discount. I think you can get it for $54, 10% off if you want to buy it there.
It's $50 on Newegg right now.
Okay.
But considering I'm not really into this genre and I've put more hours into this than Red Dead 2, I think that says something about it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the game is, again, BioWare, it's still a BioWare game at its heart, and you can still see that quality there. It's just, it's also having to deal with all of EA's bullshit.
Yeah, and you go back into Fort Tarsus and, the Normandy. Yeah. Okay, I got to talk to a bunch of people, see what
that's what you do. That's one of the reasons you buy a BioWare game to begin with.
Yeah.
For the narrative.
There's lots of, little challenges and such, and I keep filling up these, guild alliance meters or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
As you talk to them, it's like, okay, I guess I said something good because the meter went up.
Yeah. The point is, we all like the game.
Yeah.
But we admit it has flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so does BioWare, because they've kind of acknowledged that we understand that we have a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah, they've actually – I want to give a good shout-out to BioWare, because they've been really on top of this stuff and have gone out of their way to talk to the community and discuss, get flaws and discuss ideas of how to improve it. Mm. So
– yeah. Yeah.
Well, guys, to be fair, that's what they're supposed to do, though. Like, I'm a guy who's been playing MMOs since, 2004, and hearing – it's so interesting hearing you guys talk about this, because it sounds remarkable to me. Like, they released something that was unfinished, and they're getting pissed off at people for pointing that out.
It doesn't seem like they're, BioWare.
Or, sorry, not BioWare, but, I've seen
Yeah.
Who was it? It was the head of, one of the heads of Xbox.
Yeah, it was Mike Ibarra.
Which is like, you guys should fucking judge this. Like, well, man, I'm sorry you guys spent marketing money and they put out a game that is going to be iterated on. Like, I think that's the other. I think that's the other thing that's interesting about watching some of this is that these games, just by their function are going to always evolve, right? Yeah. But I think too, what's really important to maintain a game like this is you have to actually have it. And hearing what you guys said, it sounds like they're kind of halfway there. You just got to make sure that whatever you're putting out is functional. And even having just basic stuff like frame rate issues on an Xbox One X that just seems really dumb to me. Rushed. And it sounds like based on what y'all are saying, is even though the game is fun, it sounds like it probably could have used another 6 months in the oven.
Probably.
It probably could have. It's true. For the record, I haven't had any frame rate problems on my playthrough.
Yeah.
At least not yet. So it could be system specific to an extent, you know.
It's just interesting to me that that's the case because this is the kind of thing, this is the sort of do or die moment. Like people, and we've seen this historically now, right? Like people will try something out. And if it's not scratching that itch for them, or if the game gets in the way of them having fun, then they'll leave and they won't come back. So I hope, again, I haven't played it. Hopefully these things get ironed out. I really would love to see BioWare do something good. I still love that studio. I love a lot of the games that they put out. But hearing everything that I've heard and read everything. And again, I haven't played the game, but it's just kind of like, You can't rush this kind of thing, especially if you want there to be a long tail. And if you fuck up the launch, what you guys were talking about, it's technically been out 2 weeks, and then there are people out there like, well, you shouldn't judge this because they just put out an update. Like, no, man, that's not how they should have released the fucking game.
You want to know what I kind of think happened? This is just my guess. I think EA was banking on Andromeda being a big success. And for the record, you know, I bought Mass Effect Andromeda. I reviewed it for the site, and I liked it. But it also had some serious issues. And part of that was because, you know, they gave it to their B team, which was, you know, not really experienced in that kind of project. And then, you know, because...
They also had all those issues with the Frostbite engine. Like, it just wasn't designed to be that kind of change.
Yeah, it was. That was also an issue. And basically what happened is that because EA didn't get the response they quite wanted, they basically just canned any further... you know, any further content that would have gone into that. So yeah, because that wasn't getting, and so because they weren't getting the revenue, is they basically told the guys over at the regular guys at BioWare, and like Phil said earlier, they did push this back a bit. But basically, I think what happened is, yeah, Wendy was like, okay, guys, this other project isn't doing the money one. We need you to do this. We need you to get it out at a certain date. You know, and we'll just fix it in post. And
yeah, I remember there were rumors that Anthem was going to end up falling to 9th gen, and then all of a sudden, no, you're going to be playing it in a couple months.
Yeah. So yeah, I think EA kind of made them rush this one out the door a bit, probably before it really needed to.
Yeah. But also, you're going to have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair to them, like Bungie didn't do it right the first time, Ubisoft didn't do it with Division. They didn't nail it the right away. Like, nobody's really nailed it the first time out.
I know that games like this are supposed to evolve over time, but I think the main thing here is, like, we need the communication from the PR people or the developers that, you know, there's going to be a day one patch and things like that. Like,
Anthem got that.
And for the record, BioWare has been doing that. They have been very open about all that. But...
I went to play yesterday, and they're like, hey, we got an update for you. It's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for the hits, every publication is going to have a day one review. But, you know, I mean, as we said, the games do evolve. But at the same time, if the game is clearly unfinished when it's released, I see no reason why you should not pen on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's just these sorts of games, you know, very much these are day one reviews. And... people often take that stuff as, you know, 100% gospel for the life of the game, when no, that's just what it is at day one.
Yeah.
What it is in 3 months, 6 months, you know, next year at this time, it'll probably be a good bit better, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, can never, you know, take away the chance that they fuck it all up.
But, yeah. For the record, and I plan on supporting this game in the long term, so...
Yeah.
You know, I planned on playing it for a while.
Yeah, I'll probably play through my 10 hours. I'll probably do a video for the site.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've wrapped my mind around a lot of the what the mechanics and the systems in this game, then I'll probably pick it up on like PS4 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... like I like that they focus on matchmaking, and that's so far there's like no voice chat or anything.
Yeah.
That stuff, like, people just go to the waypoints, they shoot the stuff, they look for the thing, because there's, like, a weird radar mechanic. Mm-hmm. It's like, you gotta go find something, and it's like, okay. Like, I think they could really use, like, a mini-map, because it's pretty easy to get lost in the...
There's replay. No mini-map?
No.
No, there's a map.
What?
A regular map in the pause menu. Which... here's the thing, you can't get back to Fort Tarsus from inside the free play area.
No.
You have to just go to the map and just say end free play.
Oh my god.
That was the thing I was...
Yeah, that was the most frustrating thing for me.
So I went back to where you start, and like, okay, I can go back in, right? It's like, how the fuck do I get back in?
I looked at the map, it's like the free play area doesn't exist in the confines of the game, it's just someplace else.
Like, there's no door...
Hmm.
Designated. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's how you get back in if you want to play it like you're actually in this space.
Yeah.
Versus you're a video game, so go select end session in the menus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that I had to Google how to get out of the game.
Yeah, if you didn't figure that out in like the beta or whatever, like that's something that's it's one of those things like games don't explain very well for anybody to figure out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just thinking the other day, like, there are two buttons on your on every controller that are not labeled L3, R3.
Yeah, they exist, but
so
if you don't know about them.
I've seen people like talking about their player, their parents that don't play games that much. Like, what the hell is L3 and R3? It's like, oh, that you're pushing the sticks. It's like, yeah, those are buttons. We understand what they mean, but the average person doesn't know what that is because it doesn't really make sense. What the first trigger is L1, second trigger is R2 or L2. Where's there's no third trigger. Yeah. It's on the stick.
And personally, I mean, I could go on a rant about how that is like one of the worst design choices ever made.
Yeah.
But I won't do that right now. What I will do is bring up BioWare's roadmap for the next 3 months of Anthem, which we should probably go over before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because, so that's they put this out a couple of days ago when the game launched. And, just want to know what you guys think about all of this stuff.
Let's see. Next month they have an update called Evolving World. They bring back two of the three events. Also offering new cosmetics, items, and the first phase of their legendary missions.
Yep.
Seems like some good stuff for people want, like, I just finished this campaign, what's next?
Yeah.
Let's see. April's Stronger Together, enhancing interaction, quote, boning. Probably not, I don't know. In competition and multiplayer. Okay, they're adding multiplayer?
Yeah.
Okay,
so multiplayer game.
Hey, Brandon, what are strongholds? Are those like the strikes in Destiny? Like these harder missions? Okay.
Basically like the Titan Mine.
Okay.
That's a stronghold.
Okay.
Basically it's like heavily fortified and, you know, you got to go in there with a plan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see, a new stronghold, weekly stronghold challenge. This game loves its daily, weekly, monthly challenges. There's a table that has them on there. And guild support. I guess you're going to have guilds, too.
Yep.
Or is that already in it?
I would hope that's already in
it. Well, I think the guild for this system is going to be like the factions.
Okay.
So, you know, Sentinels and Arcanists, that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's like in Destiny where you, like, pick your class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your guild. Yeah, they do kind of like Destiny where there's one person for each of the three like factions in the game.
Yeah.
You go to talk to them for like new quests or whatever. In May, their Cataclysm event starts.
Yeah, that's when the Shaper Storm stuff's going to start.
Yeah, there's the free play event, new missions and rewards, and other details. But the weird thing is they kind of call this first 90 days Anthem's first act.
Yep.
And so they say there are locked spaces for Act 2 and 3. That they will close out the last half of the year, essentially.
Story spaces, more content.
Yeah.
See, you know the game has a communication problem when I've spent more time playing this game than you guys have, yet I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
because I am on a timer, so I am studying everything. The good thing the game does, actually, is it has a good codex.
Oh, yeah.
So when you talk to people, like topics they bring up, it's like, hey, it's weird that they tell you to push like the select button or whatever. I don't know what it is on PS4, but it tells you to press select, but you're talking to them, so you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's for when you find like the little codex items around the little story area.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's the little book that's hidden in the corner that tells you about the bad guys.
Yeah.
So
you think that's annoying, but I love shit like that.
I don't think it's annoying. I think it's just funny.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if I didn't find this book, I would not know anything about the bad guys. I've heard there's a woman that's very much about manners.
Yeah.
I was watching Giant Bomb's little quick look, and they talked to her, and it's like, oh, here's, like, manners added to the codex. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, that's weird. That's a dumb little game thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Seems like they got some decent support.
Yeah,
planned out for the first 3 months.
Yeah.
Also, for the record, I think some of the backlash here is because it's an EA product,
and it's the new BioWare game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Mass Effect fans have their raging boner for a new Mass Effect.
Yeah,
they're trying to find out where it's at.
Oh, the worst,
because Andromeda wasn't that.
Yeah, this is why I don't go on Reddit gaming, because
Or Reddit in general.
Yeah, because obviously everybody knows that EA has terrible company policies, but that doesn't mean I'm automatically going to hate an EA game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see in a couple of weeks if/when you hit some of the weird, you know, monetization stuff that starts getting more hot and heavy as time goes on.
I mean, that
on.
Stuff is yeah. up there front center.
Yeah.
That's one of the first guys you talk to in the story is like, hey, I'm the guy that has the store. You buy the cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
That's also when I got stuck in the hell box. That's one of the three things you could do is look at the cosmetic store. And the weird thing, their version of craft, they have a crafting menu in that store.
Mm-hmm.
That's just you spending gold on a certain type of item, like classification of item, or it might be like crafting materials.
Hmm.
It's like real weird menu to have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I spent some of my gold on just cosmetics. Which is how I got my weird helmets. I should have a picture somewhere. I don't know if I can get off my Xbox or not.
But yeah. So yeah, all in all, it's a game that seems like it's got a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. It's a solid game.
Yeah, solid game. We'll keep following it, and well, you guys will let us know how it evolves. So.
Yeah. Yeah, like the one thing is like this. Like, Destiny and The Division kind of stayed on as far as, like, kept their people playing for the most part mm-hmm. because they had something about it that was fantastic. Like, the shooting in Destiny
mm-hmm.
was the thing that people just stuck around because they wanted to just keep doing that.
Yeah.
I think The Division, it controlled well.
Mm-hmm.
The shooting was good, and I think it was the setting, New York. Mm-hmm. They want to just keep exploring New York and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And here, I'm not quite sure what that is yet. The flying is kind of the really cool thing, but they're also kind of annoying with the cooldown stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to see if I can find it in the next couple hours.
Yeah. So we've been playing some other stuff, at least some of us have. I guess I'll get into it, because, well, for me, it's been mostly Doom. I've just been knee-deep in it, and it's still a whole lot of fun. Yeah, I'm learning to do a lot of stuff that I didn't know was even possible. Yeah, so this is turning out to be very interesting, and now I'm at the point where, you know, if I could find somebody who's actually a decent artist, I could probably put together a pretty cool custom weapon or monster, but because I know the coding-wise part of it, but I just don't have any, like, assets to use.
Yeah.
So that's irritating. But apart from that, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I got the... I've been messing with some mods here and there. What else have I been doing? I got that plasma rifle pretty much dialed in the way I like it. It's not only a nice, straight ahead, you know, potent weapon, but it's also a pretty ridiculous tactical weapon as well now, because mm-hmm. I've added an alt fire. For 25 cells, you get an almost guaranteed hit at 150 points of damage plus whatever the damage scaling happens to be for that particular enemy. So, yeah, Baron of Hell, two shots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, you'll probably be cleaning him off the wall with a towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the thing to keep in mind is, you know, to make it, like, super not OP, there's a 4-second charge-up time.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're actually in the battle, that's a lot.
Doom is a fast game.
Yeah, so you need to, you know, be well aware that you're going to be firing it and make sure that you're in at least on the screen when the shot goes off. So,
it's almost like you rethought the BFG.
We did, actually, because I thought that we've both come to the agreement that the BFG is stupid. So, yeah.
Shut your mouth, sir.
Yeah, so we're basically kind of combining the plasma rifle and the BFG, and we're gonna basically try to find something else for the BFG slot.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. Still haven't figured out what yet, but yeah. So that's been it for me. But what about you, Pat?
Stormblood. I just keep going further and further down that hole. It owns me at this point, and I feel fantastic about it. this game has so many good things going on right now, and I feel like I've got a pretty good foothold on my secondary character now. And as I speak, I'm doing just the early part of the opening quests, in fact, of Heaven's Ward. So, yeah, I've said it before, that's my favorite part of the game thus far. And it's really fun being able to relive this. But, yeah, I'm more invested in Final Fantasy XIV than I've ever been. And it's a good feeling because with the game being in the place it is right now and the a new expansion being out in a few months, I obviously recommend this game every time I talk about it, but it just speaks to the fact that Square Enix really has something special going on with it.
Yeah, and you're waiting for Shadowbringers.
Yep. Get the level cap up to 80 and the introduction of a new tank class that I'll be playing, so looking forward to that.
All right. So, Brandon, what about you?
Other than Anthem, I've been playing Metro Exodus, and I'm probably in the last quarter of that game. It's if you've played other Metro games before, the big difference here is this one's out in the open instead of being completely sort of, contained inside these cramped underground spaces. So you do actually go out on the surface a lot more. There's more, but doesn't change the fact that everything's still trying to kill you. it can be difficult at times, too, because it's got like a survival aspect you have to be careful about. You have to remember, got to keep in mind you got all your filters and stuff. Got to be able, there's a lot of stealth involved because if within a radius and they will immediately try to come and kill you. But it's a lot of fun. Generally pretty good. That's pretty much it. So, Chris?
Yeah, and besides Anthem, I've been playing the Trials Rising beta that is going on right now.
Yeah, sorry, you PSN earlier.
Yeah, it's open beta, so you can definitely jump in and try it out. It's more good Trials. So far, I've not seen any dumb trick stuff in there. So I think it's just good Trials. They do have loot crates in there. For every time you level up, you get a loot crate, or you get enough of the in-game currency, you can buy them. It's all cosmetic stuff. So, like, when I start a level, you have like a character animation. Mine dabs, because of course it does. Like when I get a victory in a mission, my character slaps her ass. It's like a na 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 kind of thing. I got a couple different helmets and boots and stuff like that. It's like all the clothing stuff. There's stickers that you can stick to your stuff. I've not figured that out yet. Much yet, but yeah, it's a lot of good trial stuff. It seems like it's going to have a ton of content in there. I did try one of the challenge missions they have in there, which is they set you on fire and you're trying to get as far as you can while on fire.
Totally sounds like something Trials would do.
Yeah, basically the faster you go, the lower your meter, your on-fire meter gets. And the slower you are, the faster it goes up. And if you crash, you just explode right away. Which I managed to get like 400 meters in there to the silver medal. But yeah, that seems like it's going to be a really good one. And it's kind of the one game that's making me think about putting Anthem on the to buy a little bit later list because that's out this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, that seems like it's going to be quite a lot of fun. I definitely want to try out the Switch version because from what I've seen screenshot wise, you remember the N64, what they did? They added fog.
Yeah.
That's what they did here. There's less stuff in the background and it's real foggy.
I'm not sure that's a selling point.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that's how they solved the problem of the Switch isn't as powerful as the PS4 or Xbox One.
Yeah.
They just,
I guess if it plays okay, then
yeah. I'm definitely also wanted to try it out because the triggers are not analog. Like the PS4, Xbox One, PC, all that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how you do find controls in that, because that'll be the big question mark about that version.
Mm-hmm. Probably tap tap tap.
How long you hold it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely want to try that out, and I'll probably do a video tonight while the beta is still going on. And it's kind of shitty they're calling it a beta because it's out in 2 days. I think it ends sometime tomorrow morning. And it's like, it's not really a beta if your game's out the next day.
Yeah. Probably what it is. It's a server stress test.
Yeah. There's multiplayer in there, I think. But yeah, that game seems like it's going to be kind of back to form for that series.
Good.
After the last one.
A little weird.
Yeah.
The trick stuff.
Yeah, the trick stuff was not great. Every other level was still good. I like the kind of weird theme of the weird AI kind of just getting real weird.
Yeah.
About what was going on in that world. So far, I haven't seen any sort of addictively stupid music in this just yet. I think there's some like Motley Crue or something like that in there. Some classic rock is on the menu, but no like Man Machine or the Future type of song in there when you start it up, where everybody doesn't understand what the lyrics are. They hear something else instead of what he's actually saying. Because I think it says Man Machine the Fusion versus the Future. It's actually Fusion. Because it's man on the bike.
Yeah.
They're fusing into one being. I don't know. But yeah, that game's looking real cool. And I got Moonlighter on sale about a week ago. I've been playing some of that. And that is pretty cool. You are a merchant that is running a shop. And to refill your stock, your supply, you're going into a dungeon. Kill enemies and sell whatever gubbins drop in there. And by default, it's on this like hard difficulty, because I think they updated it at some point because it was a pretty hard game.
Yeah,
the combat was, and it's not particularly great combat. So they added like a normal mode, while adding the text to the hard mode. It's like this is what the developers intended, and now I want to put it on normal after playing a bit on hard.
Because the developers were jerks.
Yeah, it's like I kind of want to enjoy this part of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah. It also has a neat mechanic where you have a little bit of storage space on yourself as well as the backpack you're carrying. So if you get killed in the dungeon before you can warp out, you lose everything in your backpack but keep the items that are on yourself. So you're kind of potentially prioritizing the more important stuff in your personal storage space. So that in case if something bad happens. But it was nice that I was doing a boss fight and things were going south pretty quickly, and I managed to warp out with 1 point of health left. I was like, oh, that was just in time.
Yeah.
And there's also a neat part of the store stuff. You're kind of manually setting prices, and they don't tell you ahead of time like what is a good price or what's not. You kind of have to figure it out. It does list in your like manual like these items are between like, you know, 0 and 250 coins and things that are above. So you're kind of messing around with that stuff. And if you sell too much of one type of item, the like demand for it will go down. So you kind of have to pay attention to that stuff, which a lot of the early stuff I've been selling, I've managed to get it to low priority. So I definitely have to go back in and get some more rare stuff. But as you get more money, you get the ability to like expand the town and add new stores there. So I have like a blacksmith that can make me new weapons and such. So I'm definitely trying to get some items for him to use to make me some new swords or armor or whatever. So there's something pretty cool about this game.
Yeah,
I definitely want to play some more of it. And I've been going back to Hitman 2, trying to do some more challenge stuff in there. Mainly playing the first level, Hawke's Bay. which is kind of just one house. It's like a super rich person house that I guess I figured out that they probably stole their identity and killed the people that owned it to take over it. And there's like a panic room with a bunch of weapons in it. Though I've been sticking with this like ninja outfit. It's like a Agent 47's like wetsuit he comes into the mission with. Yeah. And then a sword hanging off his back. It's a little bit riding in there. kind of just doing some of the different challenges that are in there. Which one was to smother. If you hang out in the house long enough, the target just goes to bed. And so you go and smother them with the pillow at that point, which I did. Though kind of bugged out a little bit because her character model just started floating above the bed. Like Ghostbuster style.
Sign up for that?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't sign up for demonic woman. I was just killing this head of this this corporation. I had a couple others. Like I got her into the panic room in another attempt and put some chloroform into the air ducts to knock her out. And then I just shot her in the head. And that was one challenge. Definitely working on some more stuff there, but trying to poison her tea that she's going to make. I put it in the poison pills in the wrong thing. Because it's like, oh, there's sugar and there's honey. Which one are they going to use for this? I put in the sugar. I guess that wasn't it because she didn't die right away. But I did put them in the vodka that her boy toy drinks and he dies right away.
Yep.
And she's not exactly too distraught about that. She just goes and gets a security guy to take care of it, and they put him in a body bag and leave him right where he died. That's inside her bedroom. It's like, oh, you really care about this guy. Because she went right to bed after that. So it's like, oh, okay. Whatever. But yeah, that game is still really good. I definitely want to put some more time into this and kill people in all the ways that are possible. Including some that were unexpected. I was not expecting a bugged out Ghostbuster reference here.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Dan Reb?
Other than Anthem, Game of the Year, Tekken 99.
Yeah.
That's about it for me.
Tetris 99. Yeah. I really need to play some kind of Switch thing, apparently, that Nintendo made.
Yeah, there are rumors of a smaller Switch coming at some point this year, so yeah, maybe that'll be a bit cheaper.
A smaller Switch.
Switch with no screen would be nice, but just saying. Anyways, so that's it then. What about you, Lee?
I've just been playing... So I took a break from WoW because...
It sucks.
It sucks, yeah. They're fucking up. And my son was saying that he wanted to try out the Old Republic because we're big Star Wars fans here. So I said, okay, we can fire that up. And it's definitely a dated game, that's for sure. But it still definitely has some of that old BioWare magic, like the way the storylines and stuff play out. It's a lot of fun. And I wish that... Well, it's interesting. The reason I was even talking about like why the launch really matters is actually had me really thinking about this game, because this game was the Old Republic was huge when it launched. Everybody wanted to play it, and then they lost. Like I think they started out with like 5 or 6 million subscribers in the first like 3 months, and then just due to like engine issues and all kinds of just other stuff, even though the game itself, the core of it was solid, the issues with the fact that there was a lot of performance issues, and then there was also they didn't have a lot of quality of life enhancements that had come, you know, in the MMO genre, because it was originally they started developing it in 2006, supposed to be released in 2010, but they ended up releasing it in 2012, and you know, by then, I mean, WoW was the big swinging dick on the scene with 12 million people, and you know, you have that many people, and you know, you have these games that are you have people that expect certain things out of the game, and the Old Republic just didn't have that, like, at all. And so because they didn't have a lot of the stuff that people were expecting, they just dropped subs. So that's just one of those things where I was thinking about Anthem too. Like, you know, I really hope Anthem does well. I really still like BioWare, but it reminds me of an Old Republic thing just based on what you guys are saying. Like, a lot of stupid problems out at the beginning that just don't need to be there. Like, why are they there in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that does make me think of the Old Republic, because it's like, man, you know, they really had something special here with the way the game is designed and the way the stories were set up, but they fucked it all up because they couldn't launch it properly and they had a lot of technical issues. So, but yeah, I've been enjoying it. Like, you know, there's still, the ironic part is there's still quite a few technical issues in this game. Like, we got stuck on some rocks and just random shit that you wouldn't expect to happen. But there's still just something totally cool about playing like an evil Jedi and fucking wrecking people and force choking them and shit like that. So that's what I've been doing, and I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone. I haven't had much time to do anything. I'm getting ready to go out of town this weekend, so I have it's a 4.5 hour flight, so I'm sure I'll take my Switch with me and play something on there. I have not done Tetris 99 like Dan Reb. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm being like a crotchety old man, but I'm like, not everything needs a fucking battle royale. So, but I'm sure that'll change when I actually play it. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's like, what if you played Tetris multiplayer instead of like one other person or three other people with 98 other people?
I guess that's the thing, man. Like, I've seen, like, in my time, Jesus, I'm not that old. But like, growing up, I mean, I knew people that refused to play video games, but they would fuck you up in Tetris. And so, like, I can only imagine, like, those same old ladies that were, like, wrecking people when I was, like, a child are the ones that are out there, like, oh, this is my jam. And they're probably online beating the shit out of people like me or Dan Reb or anybody else like that. Yeah. Like, now's my time.
A lot of Japanese people I see, their usernames popping up. It's like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, I had no idea how deep you could actually take Tetris until years and years and years ago. It's one of the first Evos that I ever went to. It was back when Tetris DS had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you could beat that game. But a friend of mine, Ernesto, was like, yeah, let me see that shit.
That guy.
Like, yeah. And just fucking beat the fuck out of the game. I'm like, wait a minute, you can beat Tetris? Like,
mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, watch this. And, like, he had it done, like, 10, 15 minutes later. And I was just like, oh, well, that makes sense. He plays Marvel. So, of course, he can deal with, like, the blocks flying at him at fucking 300 miles an hour. But, yeah, like, it was just one of those things. So he's also going to be, like, one of those people where it's like, I don't even want to step in the room because I know there are people out there like that. Like, that's not my jam. So... But I'm sure I did download it. I'm sure I'll play it. We'll see. But my son is hounding me to play Undertale, so I might play Undertale on the plane. We'll see. So, but yeah, that's been about it. Yeah.
When I was 7, I beat Ms. Pac-Man. I didn't think that was possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, put a link in the chat. That is two great Japanese players playing in Tetris 99, the final two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 2-minute video of them going back and forth with almost no amount of time that any normal person could react to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever get a chance, check out this guy on YouTube. His name is Joseph Seeley. This guy is incredible as far as Tetris goes. Yeah, he's doing stuff with the NES version of Tetris that nobody even knew was possible. So yeah, check out his stuff there on YouTube, and I'm sure he's probably playing Tetris 99 and wrecking people as well.
So he's like a grandmaster.
Probably should be by now. Yeah,
I mean, I'm pretty sure the game is being like dominated by people's moms. So
yeah,
right.
Twitch streamers,
which is what I'm absolutely positive that's exactly what's happening. Like, it's almost like remember that old episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets trained by that guy in the arcade so he can finally beat the shit out of Bart in boxing? Like, it's like that kind of scenario, except these moms are like, I've been waiting for this for a long time. Yeah. Your little Fortnite and shove it up your ass. You know, like, I can totally see that, man. I can totally see it. So.
All right, so let's get on to some Evo news, Pat. BlazBlue, CrossTag getting some more support, it looks like.
Yep, well, the last we'd heard about it was at EVO last year, and they confirmed that Season 2 was going to happen and that there was a fifth IP being added to it. Everyone thought it was Senran Kagura. Apparently it's Arcana Heart, and so Heart herself has been announced for Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, along with Teddy from Persona, Naoto from Blaze Blue, and Seth from Undernight. And then at the end of that trailer, they showed an icon confirming a sixth IP incoming, which may be Senran Kagura, to corroborate those rumors. So there's a lot left to see here, and it'll be interesting to watch this play out. It's already one of the biggest fighting games in terms of roster going right now, and it's depending on what they have in mind for Season 2. This could just be the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one of the things that kind of hurt it initially was just the way they had split that roster. Because, yeah, let's be honest here. Every single character in the season pass was already in the game.
Yeah.
It really did seem like a money grab. So that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. But at least, you know, even with the season pass, if you wanted it, it still came out to like $40. So it wasn't that bad. No, it was 60.
70.
With the season pass.
It was 50 for the game and 20 for the season pass.
50 for the game?
Yeah, which is still isn't bad considering that it was that it put you at 40 characters. So
yeah, and that game does go on sale quite often.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should be able to grab it for a pretty decent price. It seems like it got enough legs that it seems like they're going to continue to support it, and that's great.
I like
this. This is like a tag fighter that actually makes sense.
Yes, and it's good for two reasons, because Mori has such a good thing going on with this game that I want to see what he does with it, and at the same time, it gives Blaze Blue Central Fiction a chance to settle down for a few years and see how that game shakes out competitively without those annual updates. And so I think it's good for the Blaze Blue IP as a whole.
Yeah, because one a year was getting a little tiring.
Yeah. So. And it was actually keeping me from playing it all together, because I wanted to wait until all the updates started settling down until I got into it.
Yeah.
And now that it looks like Central Fiction is going to be the core Blaze Blue game for some time, I've actually started playing it a little bit, and we'll see where I go with it.
So moving on here, we got some Square Enix news. They've announced a new RPG called The Last Idea. That's it. They've run out. They have no more.
Yep, they
no
have
more ideas.
Yeah. I thought with The Last Story, that was basically going to be the
guys, just, this is their MO. Remember, it's the Final Fantasy.
I'm sure, like, you know, if I'm still around in 20 years, we're probably going to be talking about stuff like The Last Idea versus 13 or something, something to that effect.
Yeah. Have a sequel come out called The Last Idea, another one.
The Last Idea. No, really, we're serious this time.
This time, yeah.
Like the last time they tried this with what was it? The Last Remnant.
That was the last something.
Yeah, the Last Remnant. That was like their weird early gen game for Xbox.
Yeah, they didn't want it to be heavily Japanese or heavily Western, and it ended up being nothing really in particular.
Yeah.
This nothing game.
Yeah,
it is true.
A game. So yeah, do we know much about this?
I don't know. Not really.
No, but it could be the last. The last idea.
Last idea they'll ever have. In other news, we got Darkest Dungeon 2 has been announced. So like incredibly depressing RPGs, there you go.
Depressing and punishing.
An RPG that makes mental
health. I'm good. I have a job. Emotional health,
a core part of the game.
Yeah.
They talked a little bit about some of their ideas for what this is going to do. They're going to completely change the metagame. And yeah, so the it's not. It's a game about enduring a grueling journey, not cleaning up your backyard.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
I think the original was kind of more about managing your town and sort of building up this team. And I imagine it's probably going to be, maybe it'll be a bit more of a journey, like you're going to other places instead of just like defending this town, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I don't think I have a date on this at all. Maybe sometime later this year.
No, probably sometime.
But they said that they're big fans of early access, so they'll probably be doing something like that.
Yeah.
Meaning big fans of money coming in consistently.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a small team at that point. So, like, having some sort of stability money-wise.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm not shitting on it. It's just, it's a funny way to describe it. We're big early access fans. Like, why don't you just say we're big fans of money coming in so we can keep developing our games?
Yeah.
It's like me saying I'm a big fan of paychecks because I do like having a roof over my head.
Well, I think they also like having the fans being a part of it, giving them feedback on what they like and don't like.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where obviously we keep seeing more and more of this because I think there's so many people out there now. There's so many types of games to play. Like, I think some of these developers just don't know what the fuck to do. So doing an early access is definitely worthwhile because then you're not accidentally building something that somebody doesn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It also gives you, a good way of just interfacing with the community that you're trying to build. If you're making a dungeon crawler / town building simulator, well, that's a pretty complicated game to be building. Maybe a little external input wouldn't hurt. So
yeah.
So it certainly helped with Dead Cells. Like, Dead Cells is now finally, I think, where it should have been when it launched. It is an absolute blast to play. I wish they had released it that way. They figured out that difficulty spike and all kinds of stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. So more announcements. Dreams is coming out for $30 in the spring for creator early access. Interesting approach, I suppose.
I think it's actually is a great idea for them. Because if you saw a video of a lot of things were being made in the beta they had a few weeks ago, that's kind of what they want to keep doing, is having people working on stuff, giving them feedback and all that sort of information, and kind of building it up to what they want it to be while getting people in.
Yeah. I mean, at $30, that's a price where a lot of people will go, I don't really know what this is, but for that price, I could probably chance it. It might be something I'm interested in.
Yeah. And so they're aiming this to be primarily for creators, but they said, if you just want to play the things that are being made, or just following that stuff, you're welcome to join. They are doing a limited amount of copies they're selling on PSN, so they're trying to keep it
really
fairly small, because I think
they're limiting digital sales.
What?
It's sort of like a paid beta, essentially, because I think the whole thing's going to be $60 whenever.
Yeah, unless you get in early, and then
they want people essentially pre-ordering it for half off, because they want people that are going to be active in the community.
Yeah.
So they want those people, which they have a site you can go to, put in your PSN account information and get notified when it's going to be out. So you hopefully get in there early enough to get it. I assume it's not going to be like 10,000 copies or whatever.
No, but it's probably going to be.
Yeah. But yeah, they're definitely wanting to sort of build things in the direction that the community is excited about.
Well, that'll be interesting. My son, I know, is super interested in that. So,
this
came at every GDC, and they always ask, "Hey, man, you want to try it out?" And I'm like, "No, I'll just watch you guys. It's pretty cool."
Yeah,
I'm good fan.
Yeah,
it's weird because it's it seems to be taking the same approach that Project Spark had, although in this it seems like it's expanding a lot to a bigger scope than Spark ever did.
And that's why my son's so interested. He still plays Project Spark, and the amount of stuff that he's created in that game is nuts.
Yeah, and this is kind of more of a game engine versus that kind of being just a a way to make a bunch of weird stuff in it.
Yeah.
Because I know there's, because you can share like, oh, I made this cool, cool set of like controls for a 3D platformer. Somebody made that seems to be really popular among creators. So if you want to make, you know, a 3D platformer, boom, you just grab that and you're got a good head start.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's making, you know, Dark Souls style thing, like combat in there, and it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. It works pretty well. You know, there's lots of cool things that I saw in there. Somebody's trying to figure out how to make a skateboarding game, which is obviously a lot harder than it probably looks at first, because you have a body and physics, the board that have to have separate controls and all that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's going to be a cool thing. I definitely want to jump in, potentially just do like a weekly video series, like, hey, let's check out some of the new stuff that's going on and checking in on things that have been iterated on. Mm. But yeah, that game looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the most ambitious things we've seen this generation.
Yeah. And considering, like, this was announced basically right before, it was announced with the PlayStation 4, and it's not out yet, so this has been a long...
They're the ones like, hey, the Move controllers are cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's what we did with them.
Yeah, you might get to play it in 5 years. Anyway. Yeah. So in other news, Valve is closing down its Steam video store. Most people's reaction, Steam had a video store?
Yeah, I was fixing to say, that was a thing?
Yeah, they had deals on there, and it's like, why would I want to watch this on Steam?
Yeah. I have Netflix. What the hell?
Yeah. I think the only things I had was, like, Indie Game, the movie. It was, like, one of the things that was free. or maybe it wasn't free. It was, like, a couple dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there wasn't much on there that I got.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know it was there. It's like, yeah, there's a videos tab, but I always thought that was just game videos. So I never even bothered looking at it.
No, it's all movies and all that.
Yeah, so it's like, bad marketing on Valve's part. And honestly, it's a crowded market to get into, so I can kind of see why they didn't really get much traction.
Yeah.
It's not... Same thing for music. They also do that as well, but apparently that's still going for now.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's just the music that you have attached to your account from buying those special editions that include soundtracks and such.
Yeah. Yeah, since they've started breaking that out, yeah. So this is a weird story. So this spring, Xbox insiders are going to get the ability to restart the console. So I thought that was a thing already?
So this is part of their Xbox insider stuff. This is a thing that's pissed me off since the Xbox launched.
Mm-hmm.
So, Phil, you've... Like, when you go to turn off your Xbox, you hold down the Xbox button. You notice there's only turn console off and turn controller off. And I guess port or whatever. They're finally adding the ability to restart to that.
to the mini menu, because you could do it if you went into settings and then,
every time I had, like, the issues where, like, games weren't starting or whatever, I would literally hold it down, like, expecting restart to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, damn it, I gotta get out of this and go back to the regular mini menu.
Yeah,
which I also
do it from there. But.
Yeah, it's like, why is it here where you turn it off? That's been 5 years. They're finally going to be fixing it for Xbox insiders. So yeah, that's good. It took them 5.5 years to get to this point.
Well, at least they're still improving it. At least, so.
Which I also just found out
this was a misleading headline to show that we're going to show the Xbox 2 soon.
No. But yeah, I also found out that screen is called the Power Center.
Huh.
I guess because you power it off.
Yeah. Or power off the controller.
What a time to be alive.
And I guess also in this update, they're going to be improving the uninstall process.
Yeah.
I guess they're going to have the ability to show you, like, hey, here's stuff you haven't played in a while that you could delete to free up enough space.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it reminds me of stuff I've downloaded that I want to play and don't want to delete. And it's like, fuck you, I'm going to go pick what I'm going to delete. Yeah.
You know what they really should do is just, when you they should have a feature that when you sit down at your Xbox, as soon as you sign in, it just randomly launches a game that you haven't played.
Oh god, that would be annoying if you actually know what you want to play.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, why is this starting Peggle? I wanted to play Halo. Because then it takes you a little bit to get out of the game and go figure out where Halo is at so you can go start that.
Oh, but then, no, they would also have to disable the ability for you to actually get out of the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you'd have to just turn off the system and start it back
up. Turn off the system, or you'd have to play the game.
It's just made a loot box console.
At that point, you just take it to GameStop and, yeah.
Give me the one that just has the Halo on it. That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're also, let's see, they're changing the mini, the keyboard a little bit, the virtual one. Are they going to add, I think they're going to add like the numpad version of that. So when you're just inputting codes or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You can do that. I guess we're also going to put Xbox Game Pass Quest in the UI itself. Instead of having to figure out where that section is to go look at them. It's like it's in the Rewards app right now. Yeah. It's like, this isn't tied to Microsoft Rewards. Why is it in here? Or it kind of is, I guess.
Yeah.
But I always go look at that, and it's like there's more than what it shows. And it's hard to check up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some of it's like, get achievements, and sometimes those don't show up. Or sometimes they do. Because I think there's one for like get up to like 20 achievements. From Game Pass games, and Crackdown 3 apparently doesn't count for that. Because I got like 25 in there, and it's not full. So it's like, what the fuck? But it maybe takes like a week to show up sometimes.
Maybe.
I don't know. But they're going to put that in that little mini dashboard thing for you to look at. So, cool.
Cool, but that mini dashboard is now getting more and more cluttered.
Yeah. Pretty soon they're just going to have to make that the whole dashboard.
Well, which I'd be okay with. So the Xbox keeps improving, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, they're not going to fix the whole thing where it's extremely sluggish and the cursor lags behind all the time.
Yeah, I think they're still working on that. They've got some core issues that they need to iron out.
This is 5 years into this thing's life. What the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, those same kind of lag issues I get on my Windows 10 PC, so I know it's not a hardware issue. It's Windows 10. So once they sort that out on the PC, it'll probably translate over to the Xbox as well. So.
Yeah, that's also been out on Windows 10 has been out for years now, too.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
This is like core usability stuff. Like, make sure it's responsive.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't know by now, when Microsoft doesn't actually ever finish anything. Mm-hmm. They just start stuff. They never finish it. So, anyways.
Well, hopefully this is fixed in 5 years with the Xbox 2.
Yeah. So, who knows. So, let's see what we got here. GDC's coming up, and Google is supposed to have a gaming announcement there. I think the speculation is that this is going to be their streaming service.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people just started getting their codes for Assassin's Creed Odyssey for Uplay recently, so that beta test seems to be over.
Yeah. So, congratulations, you get to install Uplay. Yay. Uplay. So I don't know whether this means that Google is going to be doing something like a set-top box, or if they're just going to double down on the Chromebook stuff, or...
Yeah, we know there's the rumor of the hardware they were working on called Yeti.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't know that Phil Harrison joined them to head up whatever they're working on.
We'll wait and see.
And they also have Richard Marks.
Oh.
Who's the head of PlayStation?
He was big in the 90s. He had a lot of, some pretty good songs. No, not that Richard Marks. No.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what? Are we talking about the same guy?
No.
This guy's been the head of PlayStation's tech department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come with the PlayStation Eye, Move, PSVR, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Other weird side stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. And we're second last story here. We've talked about the Mega SG, that brand new FPGA implementation of the Sega Genesis by Analog Technologies. We've talked about Hardcore, that unfinished Genesis game that John seemed to hate. So, yeah. So that is actually going to be included on the Analog Mega SG. It's going to be, like, just built in.
Yeah.
So if you buy one of those, you get a brand new game that hasn't ever been released.
Yep. Though they're renaming it Ultra Core for legal reasons. So it seems to be separate from what's the remastered thing that's coming out sometime this year.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing, but they did this with the last one, the Super Nintendo thing with Super Turk and...
Two. Yeah, two was the one that was unreleased. They put it on there. The Analog NT, it came with both, Super Turk and 1 and 2 were both on there. So I like this. If you're paying $180 for a brand new console, it would be nice to have something to play on it.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the pack-in. I think that's something that should continue. So
it's kind of sad that we lost the tradition.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft is kind of keeping it alive with all the bundles that they kind of do.
But now you can get an Xbox One X on the cheap because it includes Fallout 76. I think it's like $350 for it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's $150 off because it includes the Fallout game that nobody wants.
It includes a game nobody wants. Yeah, that's actually kind of tempting.
Yeah, I would consider getting on that.
Yeah. You can always just resell your digital code for whatever. So, yeah, I really should try to get a hold of Analog, see if we can maybe get one of these, try it out.
Yeah.
And finally, the big story of the week. Yeah, we can't delay it anymore. On tax day, Reggie Fils-Aimé is retiring, and he's going to be replaced by his protege, Doug Bowser.
Which is somehow sad and appropriate all at the same time.
Right, it is the greatest story this week because of that dude's name.
Yeah, this is when he's named most of the internet figured that guy's that name out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story got there. He's poured out to no end here in Utah because apparently he went to the U of U.
Yeah, so we know much about him. He's a sales manager apparently over there. I've seen a photo of him where Mario and Luigi are tied up in the background. So that was awesome. They could play up that whole angle if they really wanted to. I suspect maybe during some Nintendo Directs they probably will. I think that it's been Reggie was there since 2003, I want to say.
I think it was E3-04 when he debuted there.
Yeah, but he started working at Nintendo in 2003.
I guess Reggie's body just wasn't ready anymore.
I think his body was ready for retirement. Yeah.
I don't know. I really punched down on that one. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him at Google next year.
Yeah. Maybe. Right now, it seems like he wants to spend more time with his family. I think he's more than earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is one black mark on his legacy. It's Mother 3.
Mm. Yeah, Reggie can eat all the dicks for that one.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll finally come out. Who knows?
Maybe Doug will take that up.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the last time someone asked him for Mother 3, he shot laser eyes at him. So,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to call it admirable, but, Reggie was someone who was memeable before memes even existed.
Yep, so, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, that's I could do with less of that, to be honest. Yeah. It's like I could do with a little bit less of that than Doug.
Because a lot of us were on the GameSpot community team around that time, and it really made the Nintendo crowd insufferable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Doug Bowser made us put out statements about Mother 3. The other day, he said, so I hear you all want Mother 3. Let's see how bad you want it. Reggie told me you would do anything to play this game on Nintendo Switch. Well, here's my demand. I want Peach. Bring me the princess and you can have Mother 3.
Okay.
He's already at it.
I like him. I like this guy. Yeah. I know I just said like, yeah, I could do without less memes, but I mean, if you've got the name, you may as well go for it. So, all right, so let's get into our picks of the week, and we'll wrap up the show. I'm going to start off with Zion V8. I mean, you know the original Doom is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Doom 2016 is great. Zion V8 lets you like mush the two together. So it's basically a big mega mod that for the original Doom,
mm-hmm,
or Doom 2. You'll play through the maps, well, those particular maps. But you'll get all of the amenities of modern Doom, like all of the modern weapons. Inside of those, you'll get the rune stones, you get the glory kills. Yeah, all of that stuff brought over to the original Doom, and it's awesome. And it's free, so go and download it and try it out for yourself.
Best price of all.
Yep. So that's my pick. What do you got, Pat?
So following my current obsession with Final Fantasy XIV, NoClip has released a trilogy of outstanding documentaries covering the previous development of Final Fantasy XIV of, you know, version 1, leading into Naoki Yoshida's arrival on the team and the development of A Realm Reborn. And it's really interesting. They talk to a lot of key people all the way up to Yosuke Matsuda, and hearing about all the decisions that went into the process of making A Realm Reborn happen, and all of the other things, the other ways it could have gone. It's a really interesting watch, and if you even have only a passing interest in the game and the story behind its development, I highly recommend it, because there are some very interesting revelations that come out in these documentaries. And they certainly explain quite a bit. One part was where Yoshida introduces himself to the development team and is absolutely shocked to learn that absolutely none of them have ever played World of Warcraft. And here they were trying to go up against it.
That could be a problem.
So that was, it was interesting, and it explained a lot about version 1.
Mm-hmm.
There was the discussion of him arriving on the team and telling Yosuke Matsuda, look, okay, we can just continually patch version 1 and get it to something resembling respectability, or we can tear it down and I can start development on basically a new game that can tap into the true potential of what this idea is supposed to be. And what Matsuda said about that also explains quite a bit about the development process of Final Fantasy XV. So there's a lot to be said there, but basically what we have here is a guy who will bend over backwards to protect the reputation of Square Enix's flagship products. And yeah, it's a really interesting show. I highly recommend it. I know, Lee, you're talking about getting into Final Fantasy XIV, and this is a really good primer on it.
Okay.
Talking about where the game was and how it got to where it is. And
yeah, I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Let me know what you think too.
Yeah,
because I mean, I've got the link to it in the show notes, and that'll take you right to the playlist where episode 1 starts. So you can just open that up and go right and watch right through the three of them.
All right.
Yeah, if you don't already, like, NoClip's entire channel is nothing less than fantastic. O'Dwyer's been doing a great job with that stuff.
Okay, so let's wrap it up. Chris, what you got?
So PSN has a couple of really good sales going on right now. The first one is the Critics' Choice sale. Ends on Friday the 1st. Yeah, there's a good bit of stuff here, like Battlefield 5. If you want to know where that's at right now, it's $24 for PS Plus. The Burnout Paradise Watch, Phil, it's at $6 now.
Whoa.
Jesus. One of the best racing games ever made.
Beware of falling prices.
Yeah. See, indies are surprisingly the ones not dropping their prices a huge amount. Celeste is at $12. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Dead Cells is at 20. I guess coincidentally, Darkest Dungeon's on sale alongside now its mm-hmm. announcement for the sequel. It's $12.49 for the base game. All the DLC is on sale, as well as the Crimson Edition, which I believe includes all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is $15. So if you want a dungeon crawling RPG that will depress you and anger you all at the same time, that is a good one to get.
We just sell the hell out of it.
Yeah. See, Destiny 2, their annual pass for the Forsaken is finally on sale for $24. So if you want to get a bit more out of that, let's see. Destiny 3's Eternal Collection is $20. Let's see what else is here.
Diablo 3.
Yeah, Diablo 3. Donut County is $9. If you want a good, funny game.
You know, I'm scrolling through some of these and I'm noticing, oh, I bought this. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Purchased?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get...
That's how you know that they finally reached Steam status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, GTA 5 is at $15
that
for PS Plus.
I think that's about as low as I've seen it.
Yeah, Gravity Rush 2 and Remastered are on sale. So if you don't have any of those, I'd say those are better than Crackdown 3. more interesting and do you some unique things. As well as having a really cool style to it. Let's see, Guacamelee 2 is on sale. I'm trying to see what that price is. It's $11 or $12. Mm. That's a really good one. If you like mm-hmm. Metroid style games, Kingdom Come Deliverance is $30, as well as its DLC is on sale. I'm trying to see. If there's one more. I think it's on sale. That was pretty cool.
Called, Witcher 3: The Wild Hunt Complete Edition.
Oh yeah, those games are finally under $20. Like we've talked about before, they. Finally dropped under that price.
That is literally the best value of anything that you can buy on the market right now. That's literally like 200 hours worth of gameplay.
Yeah, and they finally stopped pricing them at the same price. The base game is $12 with PS Plus. The complete edition is, I think it's, let's see,
$15.
Yeah. So yeah, you're no longer
being that's insane.
$20 yep. each. Thumper's on sale for $5. That's a real good game. Let's see what else is on here.
You know what else is another real good game is The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Super Hot is on sale for $10. The VR version is also on sale. Those are real good games. Red Dead Redemption 2 is finally on sale for the first time. It's $40.
Yay.
Rocket.
Well, it was kind of on sale over the holidays.
It was the special edition, the ultimate edition is on sale.
Mm.
Finally put the regular edition on sale, so that's it's good. Rocket League and all its DLC are on sale. Shadow of the Colossus is $14. That's a really good game.
Yeah. And Spider-Man got a price drop too.
Yeah, that's just regular price $40 now. Yeah. Neo's $20. The complete edition is, I think, $25. Ni no Kuni 2 is $30. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't clear already, Sony is already coasting. That's the.
Yeah. They've been coasting for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the other sale is the Bandai Namco sale. Specifically, all their anime stuff is on sale.
Mm.
Including Dragon Ball FighterZ, as well as all the DLC.
Ooh.
The FighterZ pass is $17.49 now, half off.
Oh shit!
I'm glad I waited for that.
Yep. And this also sale exploits their stupidity in terms of pricing things. So let me see if I can get to it. They have a bunch of different ways of getting Naruto games, and they put a bunch of dumb MSRPs on these things. So Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 Deluxe Edition MSRP is $80. That includes all the DLC but not the Road to Boruto pack. That's $20.
Oh,
The base version is MSRP $60. It's all 75% off, so that is $15 on sale. The Road to Boruto edition, which includes all the DLC plus that pack, is $50 MSRP. It's cheaper than both of those versions. So it's $12.49. Let's see. And there's the... Let's see if I can find it here. There's the Ultimate bundle that has all four games plus all the DLC for four. Mm-hmm. And I think it's... Let me see where it's at here. It's not the Trilogy. It's the Legacy Edition at $17.49. So for cheaper than the Deluxe Edition is on sale for Storm 4, you can get the other three games plus the Road to Boruto pack for $2.50 cheaper. Because they never change these MSRPs. upon releasing new bundles and such. So yeah, Namco doesn't know how to do math too well. And it gets exploited when you just put a blanket percentage off on everything.
Yeah.
But as far as other stuff that is actual good deals, there's like the God Eater games are on sale. So if you're into Monster Hunter and want the anime version of that, there's the God Eater games. The Xenoverse games, the Dragon Ball Xenoverse, which is still one of my favorite pun names for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Those are on sale for pretty good prices. I think you get the Super Bundle with both games, and I think all the DLC, I assume, for $21, which includes all of the Dragon Ball Z stuff and Dragon Ball. I think some Super stuff as well. There's One Piece Burning Bloods, $15. There's a bunch of Sword Art Online games, and Tales of Berseria is $15.
Nice.
So if you're into the anime, Namco has the hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Good prices.
Yep. Good prices. Just have to actually look at the listings and see what you're
getting. So. Read the front.
Primarily Namco, because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, their mistakes are your gain with these prices, I guess.
Yeah. So,
as is usually the case.
Yep.
Welcome to the circus of values.
Yep.
Oh god. The day I can get, you know, hypoallergenic needles out of
that. It's really, really important, man. It's an important thing to have.
And that Namco sale ends on the 5th. It's about 2 weeks. Yeah.
I wish Vesperia was on sale.
Yeah, I think it's all too new for them.
Yeah, but typically what they normally do is, you know, by this time, you know, 2-3 months afterwards, the game is like they're selling like at crack dealer prices.
Yeah.
Unless it's on Switch.
Switch.
And then they raise the price for some reason.
D-bags.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show for today. I'd like to remind everybody, if you haven't subscribed to the show, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have reviews coming up for Anthem at some point.
Yeah, that's me. I'll be doing that one.
For Brandon Perkins, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, Dan Rip Victorio, and Lee Lamb, I'm Filippo Dinolfo, and we'll see you next week.